from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
What a showing it's been out at the opening. I mean this in more ways than one, both with Dog Nation's coverage. Jeff Sintel has been there and doing a great job all week long, all weekend long. He'll be there for the next couple of days. The Sintel intel is going to be unmissable here for the next few days as Jeff's there. He's even dropping a lot of stuff on Twitter. Great video on his Twitter feed of a lot of the UGA commits and kind of what they're doing at what is in really many ways the biggest recruiting event of them all. It's sort of the highlight of the recruiting calendar this summer, the opening. Long time in Oregon, now in Texas, and Georgia guys have been doing great there all week long. And I guess one of the things that we're probably centered in on, and I think Jeff Sintel did a good job on this when he was on Dog Nation Daily on Friday, talking about what was at stake potentially for a five-star UGA committed defensive end, Nolan Smith. The fact that Nolan Smith really has a chance to kind of go out there and make a name for himself and an incredibly rarefied air. Smith is already thought of as one of the top prospects in the entire country, and maybe with a performance at the opening, he could even move up beyond that. The point where he was the unquestioned number one prospect in all the land here for 2019. In fact, Jeff also went on Bulldogs Game Day on Channel 2 over the course of the weekend and kind of explained there, you know, just exactly what it was that Nolan Smith, a guy that is already incredibly popular with Georgia fans, exactly what it was that he had a chance to accomplish here with a performance at the opening. As a stage setter for what we're going to talk about with Nolan Smith, here is Jeff Sintel explaining what Smith has a chance to prove in Frisco, Texas.
Interesting story about Nolan Smith, Georgia's longest tenured commitment. He chose Georgia way back in January of 2017. Rated number two with a bullet right now, but he's trending upward. Get this, the five-star outside linebacker, 6'3", about 234 with wide receiver speed, could wind up number one overall in the class of 2019. The future member of the Wolfpack is definitely in the hunt for number one this season.
So if Jeff Sintel is right there that he went into the opening in the hunt for the nation's number one prospect, after all, Smith currently ranks at number two on the 2019 24/7 Sports Composite Player Ranking. Well, Smith certainly made a case for himself to maybe be number one overall. Let me read you a few of the numbers that Smith records over the weekend. Of course, Jeff Sintel was there. And if you go to Jeff Sintel's Twitter feed, it's at Jeff Sintel on Twitter, you can see video of a lot of these performances from Nolan Smith here. But to give you some of the context for the numbers, Smith goes out as a defensive end slash, you know, pass rushing outside linebacker and runs a 4.55 40. Incredible speed. I love Jeff Sintel's description of this. At wide receiver speed almost for Nolan Smith. 4.55 for him in the 40. He has a vertical leap of 42.2 inches. His shuttle runs 4.08, all adding up to a Nike score rating of 141.75. Now, I'm not an expert on how the 141.75 is necessarily tabulated, but the other numbers I do know something about, and Nolan Smith wins the overall ratings championship there at the opening here this weekend, and I think makes a strong case that maybe Smith ought to be the nation's number one prospect, and that's another feather in the cap of the 2019 class for Georgia. After all, Nolan Smith is not just a part of that. He is arguably the leader of that 2019 class, and he goes out and leads the entire field of elite recruits at the opening over the course of the weekend. And really, for me, this is important for a couple of points. Nolan Smith kind of going out there, you know, this matters for more than just the recruit nicks who are into the minutia of all the recruiting process and all the stats and all the figures. This is more than just a trivial issue when it comes to Nolan Smith. There are really two, I think, significant reasons why what Nolan Smith does here this weekend in Frisco at the opening truly matters. First of all, he is another potentially in a line of something that I believe that Georgia really needs. I believe for Georgia, who was very close to winning a national championship in 2017, here in 2018 and then 2019 and then 2020, you start looking at some of those final frontiers for Georgia. You start looking at some of those thresholds that Georgia still has not crossed. Things that national champions typically do. Georgia's, you know, looking to sort of check the remaining boxes there. to get a national championship of its own. And one of the things that I think that Georgia needs more of, and I have harped on this a lot over the last couple of years here on Dog Nation Daily, but one of the things that I think that Georgia needs more of is an elite pass rush. And obviously, this is a very simple point. The only way you get an elite pass rush is to amass a collection of elite pass rushers. Let me give you a few stats here that kind of give you an indication of kind of where Georgia has been. It has gotten better under Kirby Smart, but there is still a ways to go. If you want to go back to Mark Richt's last year at Georgia in 2015, Georgia just had 21 sacks that year. That's a pretty meager total. Go to Kirby's first year in 2016, Georgia much better. 29 sacks in 2016. Even better in 2017, Georgia worked its way up to 34. So the progression here is the direction you want it to go from 21 to 29 to 34. But even last year, though, in 2017, a year in which Georgia won the SEC, the 34 sacks the Bulldogs put together, good enough for just sixth best in the SEC. By context here, Alabama's had multiple 50-sack seasons in the last couple of years. You want to go back to Florida's last SEC East champion in 2016. They had, 40 sacks there that year. So that 40 number is attainable for plenty in the SEC, but it hasn't been as attainable for Georgia as of yet, which is why when Nolan Smith gets on campus, he's going to be asked to help change that. And frankly, some of the incoming freshmen for 2018, much the same way. Adam Anderson, Brenton Cox, some of those guys are also going to be asked to change the same thing. But while that's the tangible benefit of what a guy like Nolan Smith potentially brings to the table, there's also the intangible benefit here. Nolan Smith is just sort of thought to be a class leader, both in terms of leading the guys currently committed to Georgia, and potentially one of those, and this is a phrase that gets used a lot in recruiting, one of those Pied Pipers that brings other guys into the fold, the same way that politicians sometimes have coattails for candidates down the ballot. Sometimes recruits can have those same kind of coattails for, as of yet to decide recruits, they go where the big voice, the big leader, sort of leads them in the direction, and Nolan Smith could be that guy for Georgia maybe in the class of 2019. And the ability that he shows at an event like the opening, I think, only gives him more credibility when it comes to reaching out to some of these recruits. This is something that Nolan Smith's already proven to be able to do for Georgia. And despite the fact that I know he shows up on opposing fans' message boards from time to time as one of these guys that does take his visits other places and occasionally says something nice about another school, that doesn't change the fact that he continues to be one of the top recruiters for Georgia in the 2019 class. And the big performance at the opening, I think, only makes that more true. And if you don't believe what I'm saying here, if you doubt Nolan's ability to be a big-time leader for this 2019 class for Georgia, let's go back in time here. A few weeks ago, in an interview with Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation, Nolan Smith kind of put it out there just how much he wants one recruit in particular. It's the five-star cornerback Andrew Booth. Now, put aside for a moment that we all want Andrew Booth, think about Nolan Smith here, and think about the passionate plea that he uses to sort of get the attention of Andrew Booth. These kinds of words, I think, are only going to have even more relevance given the fact that Nolan Smith goes out there and flexes in a big way in the opening. Here is Smith making his case to Andrew Booth. Take a listen to this.
I need DBs. I need a back end. Andrew Booth, I need you. Andrew Booth, I need you. You're a DB. You're an amazing DB. I need DBs. Like that. We already got the wide receivers. We already got the running backs. We already got D linemen, inside linebackers, outside linebackers. We need DBs.
So, listen, here's the bottom line for me on this discussion and the reason why I play the audio of Nolan Smith right there. I think most of us would agree that the Kirby Smart era really kind of began with the 2017 recruiting class. With all due respect to the 2016 season, there's not as much about that that'll ultimately be remembered as the foundation that led to Georgia making the playoff in 2017. It was really that 2017 recruiting class where you thought, wow, Kirby Smart has a chance to really grow some roots here at Georgia and really build something that could last for a long time. It was the nation's number three class. And guys like Richard LeCount, one of the real leaders of that class, made it all possible because of how vocal he was and how steadfast he was in his commitment to Georgia. And I think a lot of Georgia fans at that time said, man, in the years to come, Georgia needs more guys like Richard LeCount. Now, LeCount may go on to great success on the field for Georgia this year, but he really laid the framework for what a good UGA commit does on the recruiting trail leading up to National Signing Day. think there's plenty of evidence here that Nolan Smith could be that guy for the Dawgs here in 2019. He certainly got the credentials on field as a player. His athleticism's off the chart. His passion for getting other people to come to UGA seems to be pretty high, too. And much like LeCount, Nolan Smith to me looks like a guy that's going to be very popular with a lot of Georgia fans way before he ever steps foot on a UGA campus. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and I'm so glad to have you with us, whether you watch us on video, Dog Nation Facebook page, YouTube page, Twitter feed. We're live every morning at 10 a.m. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available in podcast form wherever you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Apple devices, the Android devices, everything in between, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com. We are just really glad that you have found us today, and really thankful to have you with us as a part of the program. And of course, very thankful to have Marco's Pizza bringing it all to you, making it possible each and every day. Every store, every day, the Italian way is what they promise you there at Marco's Pizza. They invite you to say hello, primo, and boy, there's no better way to do that. My family took advantage of this weekend. Two medium, two topping pizzas, $6.99 each. You can get those from Marco's Pizza. Go to Marco's.com. You can find the Marco's closest to you. And I do love Marco's Pizza this time of year because I think a lot of y'all are the same way that I am. You know, it's maybe pool in the afternoon, or, you know, you're running quickly from, you know, one place to the other. And the last thing you want to think about is, you know, how are we going to, you know, sit down and, you know, all have dinner together? You know, on a nice summer weekend, Marco's Pizza really does it right. And, you know, the great price obviously helps. Two medium, two topping pizzas for $6.99. When you are feeding a family of four, that's always good news. But still, you know, mom and daddy want the food to taste good. We want authentic Italian pizza, and that's what Marco's Pizza provides us. And we're really thankful to have them both in our household on the weekend and here on Dog Nation Daily each and every day. I mentioned this to the video audience before our program began. Chip Towers normally with us on Monday. Chip taking advantage of a well-deserved vacation this week. Mike Johnson going to be with us today. There's a specific reason why Mike's going to be on the show today, which I'll explain to you coming up in a moment. But my partner from SEC Country Live, really good insight on the Dogs coming up from him in just a minute. All right. Before that, though, let me talk to you a little bit about something that Jeff Sintel reported over the weekend. And I find this to be pretty interesting. Now, one of the things here on our program that I try to really do is make sure I'm as candid as I possibly can be. And after a while, y'all just sort of get to know me, and you know that, you know, that I don't have a whole lot of ability to sort of hide my actual thoughts and feelings. You know, I feel like I'm sort of the guy that wears his emotions on his sleeves just a bit here. So I think that you would join me if you're a regular listener to or viewer to the program in knowing that I really like those high 4- and 5-star recruits. Top 10 players nationally really get my attention, especially when you think about the positions that Georgia needs to fill here for the class of 2019. But every now and then, maybe a player a little farther down the rankings kind of gets your attention, and maybe that's what's going on here with Tyrion Davis, a running back from Louisiana, a current LSU commit. Now, according to the 24/7 Sports player rating composite, he's just the number 14 back in the entire country here. And, you know, when you think about, what was it, number one back in the country for 2018 in Zamir White, top five back nationally in James Cook, you can get kind of spoiled to those kind of ratings, and number 14 back may not necessarily get you all that excited sometimes. But I believe that there is a real big reason to be excited about Tyrion Davis here, and I think it comes from something that Davis himself told Dog Nation. Talking to Jeff Sintel over the weekend, Tyrion Davis says about his relationship with Georgia, it's one coach in particular that seems to be leading the way on that. That's Georgia running backs coach Dale McGee. Here's what Davis says to Dog Nation. I talk to Coach McGee every day. I was just on FaceTime with him before I came out here to the opening. He's a great guy, and I really connect with him. I really like talking to him. Georgia also has a great offensive line, too. That's another good thing about Georgia. So wait a second now. That's Tyrion Davis from over the weekend at Dog Nation talking about his relationship with Dale McGee. Now, hold on here for a second. Dale McGee, who can get any running back he wants, seemingly anyway, he's certainly proven that over the last couple of years with Zamir White and James Cook, instrumental in the recruitment of Justin Fields. This is a guy that seems to have that Midas touch in the recruiting trail. He's spending this much time with a kid from Louisiana who's already committed to LSU. That's a hard recruitment to win. That is a recruiting battle where the deck's already stacked against you. Sounds like Dale McGee wouldn't be going after this guy unless he thought he was pretty good. And if Dale McGee thinks he's really good, then who am I to question that? Number 14 back in the country notwithstanding. After all, Dale McGee's got a lot of credibility with Georgia fans, as Jeff Sintel explained about this time a year ago.
I tell you what, Dale McGee is currently the most important person in Georgia's recruiting arsenal right now. When you think about Master Teague, Zamir White, you got to replace Chubb and Sony in the 2018 class with those guys. And then he's also kind of the lead dog, so to speak, on Justin Fields. If that gentleman can end up bringing all three of those pieces to Georgia in the class of 2018, that would be astronomical in terms of any one assistant's influence on a recruiting class.
Now, it's really interesting here. Georgia did win the Justin Fields commitment at the time that Jeff spoke that. We didn't know that was going to happen. Georgia did win the Zamir White commitment. Master Teague, you remember that name, the three-star running back from the class of 2018? Well, Teague ends up at Ohio State, but what does Georgia do in response to that? Brings in James Cook, one of the five best running backs in the entire country. That's the kind of work Dale McGee does in the recruiting trail. And for 2019, at least for right now, one of the running backs he's apparently turned his attention to is Terrion Davis, which means that Davis must be pretty good. And Georgia, if McGee's spending this much time with him, must be in pretty good shape. This will be a fun one to watch from Jeff Sintel at Dog Nation in the weeks to come. And by the way, look forward to plenty more coverage from Jeff out there at the opening here over the course of the next couple of days from Frisco, Texas. It's great to have you with us here today on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. As promised, how about a conversation with our buddy Mike Johnson right now? And, of course, I wanted to have Mike Johnson on the program today because I know a lot of you have asked questions about this, and I brought this up on Twitter over the weekend. SEC Country Live, Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. I'm happy to report that today, right there at the same, as they used to say on TV a long time ago, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll be right back there doing SEC Country Live again today at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Mike, I'm certainly looking forward to being back with you on the video today on the SEC Country video channels, and really appreciate you being a part of our program here today.
Yeah, I'm really excited too, man. It just it would not have been the same on a Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern, not being able to get on and chop it up with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being there. So if you're an SEC Country Live watcher, we'd love to have you join us at 3 p.m. Eastern time, just like you've grown accustomed to. We'll be right back there today, doing all of that again today. And with that, I guess, kind of out of the way, let me turn my attention to something that I talked about on Friday here on our program. I want to get your attention, your sort of opinion on this. So Danny Cannell is on, like, the CBS Sports. They're, like, streaming video channel. I'm not even sure what they even call it. But it's sort of like their, I guess, answer to their Sports Center or whatever. And Cannell goes on there, and he's talking about the SEC in relationship to other conferences. And he ranks the SEC below the Big Ten, which is not a surprise. You know, Cannell's shtick is sort of to be a noted SEC hater, which I'm sort of fine with. Everybody's got a gimmick in life. That just happens to be his. That's fine. But in the midst of that, one of the things that he mentions specifically about Georgia is the need for the Dogs to prove that 2017 wasn't a fluke. Now, Mike, on the show on Friday, I said, as much as I don't love Danny Cannell, I don't necessarily disagree with this statement. Now, maybe I'm more optimistic about Georgia doing this than some people would be. But, Mike, just at face value, it is fair to say that for Georgia, who probably shocked the world a bit by making the playoff a year ago in Kirby Smart's second season, kind of answering the challenge of doing that more than 1 year. I mean, there is a need to prove that by Georgia this year, right?
I think there is. And I think that, and I don't think it's in terms of just Georgia fans. I mean, obviously Georgia fans are looking at that, but I think Georgia fans kind of expect the best. But when you do back out a little bit and you do start looking at the SEC landscape, and, you know, there's going to be some question marks out there. And for a team like South Carolina that's trying to get to the next level, Will Muschamp, or a team in Florida with Dan Mullen who's seeing what they have in year one while they still have some talent on the roster, I think that's what they're going to cling to, right? When you're trying to say, hey, well, you know what? Our team can make a run at the East this year. You know, possibly a Tennessee coming up, although I don't think it's going to be Tennessee. But, you know, teams like that that look at Georgia and say, hey, how can we possibly kind of make our own way, kind of carve out our own lane to possibly getting to Atlanta and playing this SEC championship game, that's what you're going to cling to. Hey, Kirby Smart, if you're really that good, if you're really a top five college football coach, if you really are here to stay and you're building a dynasty, then prove it to us. Prove it wasn't just a one-year fluke with a ton of senior leadership, a ton of offensive quality in the backfield, you know, an offensive line that played above their heads maybe a year ago. Prove us that wasn't something that we should look for a drop-off in. And I think that, listen, there's no doubt in my mind, I know there's no doubt in your mind that Kirby Smart's one of those guys that's here to stay, but can we expect a run back to the playoffs this year? Can we expect, you know, a lot of the big wins that came along the way I think that's a fair question to ask, and I think that's going to be the question to ask as we move throughout the season, and you know, Georgia deals with its ups and downs.
Well, listen, one of the worst cliches in the world is the notion of make your haters your motivators. That's a terrible cliche. I do realize that's like hashtag Motivation Monday type stuff, but I think you would agree with me, Mike, that Georgia's going to have some haters now, right? I mean, once you get some attention, you're going to have a few haters. Now, I don't necessarily believe that Danny Cannell is necessarily a UGA hater specifically, but some people in the media probably are going to emerge that way. Back in 2016, Georgia really didn't have any haters. No one was paying attention to Georgia whatsoever. You could read national websites every day of the week during the season. No one was writing a single word about Georgia back then. They just weren't a consequential program for that given year because they were 8-5. But now, coming off a playoff appearance, you know, they're going to be a little bit of a magnet for hot takes. You know, people who are high on Georgia and optimistic about the future. The opposite of that, people who want to take the more of the wait-and-see approach. I think the good thing for Georgia is a team that is looking for some fuel, a team that does want to sort of stay in that mindset of being the hunter as opposed to the fat and happy complacency of now being the hunted. You know, having a guy go on some sort of, you know, national website and say, hey, prove it wasn't a fluke. I mean, there's a way that's just sort of, you know, the fuel that Georgia potentially needs, right?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And you mentioned it. Listen, that's Danny Cannell. That's his shtick. That's what he's going to do. You're going to hear him talk about the SEC. You're going to hear him try to poke holes in every possible theory that puts the SEC towards the top of the country. I mean, he just always does. It's always been what he's done. And I understand it. Listen, it's boring to say, hey, listen, it's going to be Georgia and Alabama there in December, and then, you know, hopefully one of these teams makes it to the playoff, and then another SEC team, you know, possibly getting the national title game. It's boring from Danny Cannell's perspective. He wants somebody else to mix it up in there. But I think if you are a Georgia fan, try to enjoy it. I mean, as much as fans, you know, say they hate when people, you know, try to poke holes in their team, I love the conversation, you know, more than anything. Try to enjoy it. And if you're a player and you're a coach and you're in that locker room, use it as the fuel. I mean, I can't tell you how many times back from my my college football career, we'd have posters. We'd have, you know, 5x8 posters hanging up in the locker room, hanging in everybody's locker. Pictures of this team celebrating, quotes from this coach from quotes from this person who's doubting you. You know, everybody is trying to talk about the rat poison from last year. Trying to downplay that's a big deal, and I think that using that to your advantage is really, kind of the next step for Kirby Smart. I think you'll be able to do that.
Let me shift gears here and talk about a running back recruit for the class of 2019, Terrion Davis. He's from, now get this, Mike, he's from, like, New Orleans, and he's committed to LSU. And he told Jeff Sintel of Dog Nation over the course of the weekend that Georgia running backs coach Del McGee is essentially in constant contact with him, FaceTiming him right before he went to the opening, the big event taking place in Frisco, Texas here this weekend. And there's a part of me that wants to say, hold on, you know, Coach McGee, aren't there easier recruiting battles for you to be fighting than a kid from Louisiana currently committed to LSU that feels like the deck sort of already stacked against you? But this must be one of those deals where he must be pretty good if a Georgia running back coach wants to swim against the stream as much as this. And I guess the other point here, Mike, is, and we talked about this off the air a little bit last week, that sometimes these top-flight recruiters, Del McGee has proven to be that way for Georgia, sometimes they should be given the freedom, I think, to sort of have their own talent evaluation. Davis just the 14th ranked back in the country in comparison last year when Georgia signed two top five backs. That's a little bit of a different kind of evaluation than the typical back that Georgia's been going after, including the ones in 2019 you most notably associate with Georgia, guys like John Emery and guys like Noah Cain and Trey Sanders. But I think at this point in time, and this is the part I think you'll agree with, and I promise I'm eventually working my way to a question, I think you would agree that Del McGee, given the credibility that he's earned for the running backs that he has recruited, if this is the guy that he wants, he ought to have the freedom to go get him, right?
There's no doubt. And you and I, you know, we kind of talked about this last week. Bama got a running back commit, Keelan Robinson, from up in the D.C. area. He's the number two ranked running back in Washington, D.C. And it's interesting for Bama to offer a guy, you know, a committable scholarship, mind you, in the middle of June and say, hey, come on board. But this is a guy you've had on campus, right? I mean, that's what it's all about, trusting your own eyes, trusting your own, coaches to go out there and look for what they see in these guys. And it does blow your mind at times because, you know, when you do have trouble on campus, when you do have, like, some of the issues that cropped up down at Florida last year with Antonio Callaway and some of those things, you know, you always have the haters that say, oh, you know what, they're willing to do anything to win. Well, you know what? this is where it starts. Going out and get guys that are quality personalities and quality individuals and really fit what you're trying to do at Georgia, not so much what they're trying to do at Oklahoma or what you're trying to do at LSU, that fits what you're trying to do at Georgia. You know, Bama went down to New Orleans last year and got Eddie Smith, a three-star cornerback, and really I always heard they were recruiting him harder than some of the five-star guys out there, Isaac Taylor Stewart, some of those other guys. So it's all about who fits into your program. It's all about who gets along with your coaching staff. And if you've seen a guy that you've fallen in love with your own two eyes and you're the running backs coach at Georgia, then go get that guy. Because by all means, I mean, that's the guy you're going to be coaching. You're going to be in charge of that guy's career for the next few years. So trust your assistant coaches. Those coaches trust their own two eyes. And I promise you that if they're going after him and Kirby Smart wants this guy to be a part of the signing class and they're in constant contact, then the guy's probably a pretty good running back. You know, Mark Ingram was not one of those guys a lot of people knew about coming all the way from Flint, Michigan. It's like, hey, why are we going up to Michigan to recruit a three- or four-star running back from up there? Turns out he ended up being pretty good himself. So
now in the comment section, people are asking, well, what does this mean for the other backs, the ones we most – typically hear conversation about. John Emery, he's got his decision coming up this month. Noah Kane, Trey Sanders, the two teammates from IMG Academy. I mean, Mike, I don't have any reason to believe that Georgia has slowed down on any of those three guys at all. I mean, I think there are a lot of fans who believe that Georgia will get one of those three. And I think what that goes to show you is, and obviously the Alabama standard makes this a necessity given how well Alabama recruits at running back. But even coming off a year in 2018 when Georgia signs two of the top five backs in the country and the nation's number one back overall in Zamir White, 2019, still the need to kind of come back and restock with more elite backs, because some of these guys are about to start going to the NFL and you want to keep that cycle of elite talent coming in. Given how well Alabama recruits the running back position, Georgia needs to come back and get two more here for 2019, right?
And it's hard. It really is hard, B.A., and that's just one of the – I call it a luxury tax. That's just one of the things you have to deal with as far as having a luxury tax when you really are reaching that upper echelon like Georgia is doing right now. I mean, it comes first in the form of, hey, can we get players to come in and compete? I still look back at Najee Harris's recruitment to Alabama, and my mind is boggled that this guy decided to come to Alabama with as deep as that running back room is. But he had that faith in himself, and he wanted to go in and compete, and now he's at Alabama, and now he's the number two back. And so when you look at some of these guys coming on board, they have to value the competition. They have to value being in a deep running back room and saying, hey, listen, we're going to compete against the best. You know, iron sharpens iron, you hear some of these recruits say these days. So you have to find those guys. They are hard to find. I mean, the other example I could use would be Justin Fields showing up, in a quarterback room that was obviously crowded there. So being able to get those guys on campus is a big deal, and that's just something, like I said, it's a luxury tax that Georgia's going to have to deal with for years to come, but I have no doubt in my mind they are still recruiting the top prospects. And I think that, honestly, if you're a Georgia fan, I can go no further than last year's Alabama class and say, hey, listen, they missed on a couple guys. They only had 21 slots. They missed on a couple. All of a sudden, you wind up on signing day with 18 recruits. And I think that's something Georgia's trying to avoid this year, making sure they get a couple of guys they value.
That's really interesting. Let me do something else that I talked about before you joined us, and that was Nolan Smith. He is, in a lot of ways, the class leader for Georgia in 2019. He goes out and shows out in a big way at the opening over the weekend, wins what they call like the ratings championship out there, 4.5, 5.40, like 43-inch vertical, big impressive numbers. And the point that I made somewhat simply, Mike, is that to be a true leader off the field, you kind of have to be that leader on the field, right? I mean, Georgia fans hope that Smith can bring more players with him to UGA and that he can kind of corral this 2019 class a little bit like Richard LeCount corralled the 2017 class, and you'll give Jake Fromm some credit for that too, back in 2017. But to really have that credibility, you got to put up the big numbers at events like this. You got to be the alpha dog among alpha dogs to kind of go out there and be able to do that. I mean, isn't that fair to say that's the sort of level of standard required to have the leadership with other guys who themselves are sort of alpha-ish in their own regard?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that's what happens at events like that, right? You're watching the leaderboard. There's somebody on the microphone saying, ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at that. And some of those guys do pop off the board, and you start reading their numbers, and you start looking at what they bring to the table, and you say, you know what? I want to go play with that guy. That guy's pretty incredible. I want to know where he's going to school at. I want to see what they've got going on with him. What's the plan for this guy in the long term? And it's easy to kind of fall in line with that. And I think a lot of recruits, more now than ever, BA, in my opinion, more now than ever, you do see that, kind of power team that starts really getting the ball rolling downhill. I think that happens nowadays where you look at a guy, you look at him show out, you start reading his numbers. These camp circuits that really were not a thing when I was coming out of high school, start hitting these camp circuits, and all of a sudden these numbers shoot up the board, and then all of a sudden you see your name next to another guy on a website, and you say, boy, where's that guy going to school? And they do kind of become the alpha dogs, and they become the guys that everybody's circling around. So it is interesting to see just how many people they can kind of lead to the water, if you will say.
David Wunderlich's a writer for GatorCountry.com. That's a blog site that covers the Florida Gators. And, Mike, he had some really interesting numbers. We'll probably talk about this in SEC Country Live later on this afternoon. In comparing Georgia to the rest of the SEC East, the main contenders here, Tennessee and Florida and South Carolina, the seeming talent disparity is huge here. Wunderlich reports that Georgia currently has 13 former five-star recruits. The rest of the SECs, or I should say Tennessee and Florida here, a combined total of just three. When you look at four-star recruits, Georgia's got a total of 48. That's not including the 13 five-stars, but a total of 48 former four-star. Florida and Tennessee each have 34 former four-star players. I mean, that is a huge, huge talent disparity between these programs right now, and it obviously leads me to say that, I mean, there's really no excuse for Georgia doing anything other than going out and dominating the SEC East this year, maybe for years to come, when you look at that, measurable difference in talent. I mean, that's fair to say, right?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And that becomes one of the scary things is Georgia fans are going to start getting a taste of this. It goes from celebration to almost relief. You start looking at how much better your team could possibly be than some of the guys are lining up against, and you start saying, boy, it's almost a relief to win these games. And, that's just the nature of the beast. And when you look at the way Kirby Smart's compiled the talent, that the question, obviously, that we just talked about earlier about Danny Cannell is asking the next question, hey, what can you do with it? Can you stay consistent? Can you make sure the leadership's there? Can you play within yourself? Can the game management kind of come along? That's the next round of questions. But as far as talent, and I talk about it all the time when doing SEC Country Live, you have to hit the check boxes. If you're going to get to a national title, it has to have the talent. You have to have, the coach that can get you there. You have to have the development. You have to have the strength and conditioning. You have to have the leadership. That's checked off. I mean, the talent is there for Georgia. It's putting it all together on the field, seeing what your strengths are. Find something that you can hang your hat on as a team. And those wins will start coming, obviously, week in and week out for Georgia here in the fall.
All right, Mike, we'll look forward to talking to you later on today, 3 p.m. Eastern time, SEC Country Live. I look forward to seeing you then.
Can't wait, B.A.
All right.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. Mike Johnson there, SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. today. For those of you that were asking about that, same normal time, just like always. We'll see you today for SEC Country Live there. One more thing to kind of follow up on what Mike was just saying, and then I want to get to our SEC Through here. David Wunderlich, really interesting piece at Gator Country. We're going to talk more about that probably here on this show in terms of the comparison between Georgia and these other teams in the SECs. It is worth pointing out, though, that he went position by position, quarterbacks, running backs, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, all the way through. Georgia has a huge, measurable talent advantage based on recruiting rankings for the guys currently on the Georgia roster at every position, except for one. There's only one position group in all the SECs in which Georgia has been out-recruited. Currently, Florida's crop of wide receivers has a higher sort of composite talent rating coming out of high school than Georgia's. That's even including given the fact that I guess you've got Terry Godwin and McCole Hardman over there at the wide receiver core for Georgia, both two former five-star guys. But according to what David Wunderlich wrote at Gator Country, the Florida wide receivers from a composite standpoint have a higher collective rating. We may investigate that and dive a little deeper on that later on this week, kind of see what all that means. But a really provocative piece from David Wunderlich over there at Gator Country. With that said, let's move on to our SEC Through here. Let's talk about the things happening around the Southeastern Conference. NFL.com has its, a lot of these lists come out this time of year. Y'all know that I have some fun with this kind of stuff. And they've got their list of freakish athletes around college football. I put freakish in air quotes because that's the word they use to describe this. I mean, for me, it seems like you could put a whole host of SEC guys on this list. But they do put three on there from NFL.com. Jabari Zuniga, one of the guys that makes that from Florida, He's one of the guys that could give the Gators a pass rush this season. You sort of, you know, factor him in with Antonius Clayton as well. Clayton, the former Uber recruit who hasn't really done a lot since he's been in a Gators uniform, had a pretty good spring game. But Clayton, Zuniga, who is the freakish athlete from NFL.com, these are guys that could make that Florida pass rush worth dealing with. And really for Georgia, I think that's what it comes down to. I mentioned this before that, you know, there is no team in the SEC East on paper right now complete enough to truly compete with Georgia. But there are SEC East teams that do one thing well enough that it could give Georgia some trouble. You know, Missouri's got first-round pick at quarterback Drew Locke. That's a real load to deal with. South Carolina's got a pretty impressive crop of wide receivers. Deebo Samuel's probably a first-round pick. Bryan Edwards is a, you know, former top-flight recruit. You know, when you play South Carolina, you think about those wide receivers. Tennessee, we don't really know yet what it's going to be. For Tennessee, it may not be anything. But for Florida, it may be the fact that a defensive line for the Gators that's been pretty good now for a few years may also be pretty good once again. CeCe Jefferson's a veteran. Zuniga is the freakish athlete, according to NFL.com. Clayton's got some offseason praise. That may be the one thing you have to deal with when you go get ready to play Florida, finding a way to block that defensive line up front. A couple other guys who make it, freakish athletes, according to NFL.com, Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State. I've talked a lot about Simmons. I think he's one of the top players in the SEC. I think he's heading for a really big season. He is getting a lot of offseason attention. Dawson Knox, the tight end from Ole Miss, I don't really know a lot about, to be honest with you. But, boy, you know, you put him in a group that already includes you know, A.J. Brown, the conference's top receiver. A lot of people like Jordan Tiamu, the quarterback there with the Rebels. All of a sudden, this is a sneaky, talented Ole Miss team, maybe. I still think they're one of the bottom teams in the SEC because I'm not sure what they're going to do defensively. But you got a collection of some talent there, which is kind of an interesting thing to think about. Mike Dettillier is a longtime scout slash analyst, sort of a media gadfly. He goes on the Swain Event, which is a radio station up in Knoxville. Jason Swain, former Tennessee wide receiver. He's a pretty provocative, outspoken commentator on the Tennessee Vols. And Dettillier tells Swain on his radio program that Keller Chris, the incoming graduate transfer from Stanford, is just sort of a dink and dunk guy, which means he throws a lot of check down short passes. And seemingly kind of a critical take from Dettillier on Keller Chris. And, you know, I'm not so sure that that is going to stick with Chris at Tennessee. I mean, clearly he lost his job at Stanford. That's why he's transferring. This is a former Uber recruit. Stanford, for the most part, only recruits blue-chip quarterbacks. Chris was one of those. I think that, you know, one of the things you've heard Tyson Helton talk about, one of the things that you've heard Jeremy Pruitt talk about, is the desire to be kind of up-tempo and fun to watch on offense. Much the same way South Carolina's saying that kind of stuff this offseason, Tennessee's going to talk the same way. And you don't have to have, you know, a 100-mile-an-hour arm to succeed in an offense like that. Now, does Tennessee have the personnel to do this? I honestly don't know. But I think that Tennessee's one chance of avoiding being awful is having Keller Chris step in as a transfer, win that job, beat out Garantano and McBride. And if you're a Vols fan, now I don't know why you'd be listening to the show right now if you are a Vols fan, but if you are a Vols fan, Keller Chris is about your only hope. A couple other things to get to here. Steve Ensminger, LSU offensive coordinator, had an interesting, pretty blunt assessment of Joe Burrow. Scott Rabelais tweeted these out. Rabelais's been a longtime reporter for the Baton Rouge Advocate. Ensminger says that when he saw Burrow's arm on film, he thought he had a bit of a weak arm. But seeing him in person, he's kind of changed that perception a bit. I thought that was a very honest assessment from Steve Ensminger and a very similar situation to Tennessee. LSU being any good on offense, I think requires a big impact from the transfer from Ohio State, Joe Burrow, and we'll see how that happens this summer. Another outspoken LSU coordinator is Dave Aranda, who spoke to NOLA.com, that's the website for the New Orleans Times-Picayune, about his decision to stay at LSU. He was offered big money to go to Texas A&M. He sticks around LSU. He's going to make, can you believe this? Defensive coordinator now, making $2.5 million. That's a huge, huge salary for Aranda. He's probably worth it. I mean, we hear from a lot of LSU fans every single day, and I can tell you right now, Aranda is way more popular than Ed Orgeron is. And something else for Georgia fans to be thinking about is, when you talk about the very difficult assignments that Georgia faces this season, going to Baton Rouge and dealing in particular with the LSU defense, Aranda, a smart defensive coordinator, dialing something up to maybe confuse Jake Fromm, maybe be problematic for the Georgia offense, that's going to be one of the great chess matches of the season. I think that Jim Chaney may be equal to that challenge, but that's going to be a really fun one to watch come October, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, you know, every day during our off-season here, our summer, which some people call the dog days of summer, we take a slightly different approach to that here on our program. We call it our DAWG, Dog Days of Summer. And we like to do our Dog Day Q&A, and I'm actually curious to get your opinion on something. And if you're listening to us radio, podcast, you can obviously weigh in on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily. But for those of you on video, I talked about Dale McGee earlier, and I said, if Dale McGee is working hard on a recruit, I personally am going to take it to the bank. That must be a recruit worth getting, because McGee's reputation right now is rock solid. Instrumental in the commitment decision of Justin Fields a year ago. Brought in two top five running backs in Zamir White and James Cook. This is a big-time performer when it comes to bringing in backs and high-quality recruits on the recruiting trail. He's going after Terrion Davis, a four-star running back from Louisiana, at least according to reporting from Jeff Sintel at Dog Nation. And that, to me, is all I need to know. He's one of Georgia's most valuable assistant coaches. I'm curious, though, where you think he ranks among the Sam Pittmans, James Coley's, Dan Lanning, the new outside linebacker coach. I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on that. That's our Dog Day Q&A for today. Georgia's most valuable assistant coach, most important assistant coach. You can weigh in on that. We'll look forward to getting some of your comments on that. I'll do some of these live right now. And on video, we'll take a few more of these a little bit later on. And, of course, if you're watching or listening to the show, radio or a podcast, you can also hit me up on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily. So in the YouTube comment section, a lot of folks jumping in here and having some conversation. Dapper Dan says about the idea of proving that 2017 wasn't a fluke. He says it's a new team, but we aren't going anywhere. Even Alabama has to beat us to get there. And I think that Dapper Dan's exactly right about that. I think that was the message that Kirby Smart sent after the national championship game a year ago. And I still think that, you know, despite the fact that Alabama's the reigning national champion, Georgia's the reigning SEC championship, and that's not nothing. And I think that's a bit of a cachet that Georgia will bring with it to the 2018 season and setting up that rematch that a lot of people really like to see between Alabama and Georgia later on. As far as the Dog Day Q&A question goes, Brett Strickland in the Facebook comment section says, it genuinely can't be stated how important both Sam Pittman and Dale McGee are. And I would kind of agree with that. If you want to make Dale McGee Georgia's most important recruiter, it's hard not to make Sam Pittman the offensive line recruiter. It's sort of a 1A. Because as you know, guys like Jeff Sintel have explained before, the thing that Pittman can do for you is that he can put together an offensive line that's good enough that it makes the running backs better. You know, one of the things that James Cook and Zamir White and DeAndre Swift, those guys have going for them right now is the fact they're going to be running behind Sam Pittman's elite offensive line here in 2018, which only makes their stock higher. If they were a high four-star, maybe they're a five-star now. If they were a five-star before, maybe they're – I don't even know what's beyond five-star. But that's what a good offensive line can do for you. One thing's for sure, though, this is a pretty fun conversation for UGA fans to be able to have. All right, so if you're watching on video, we'll keep the comments going here in just a moment. If you're listening to us, hit me up on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily. You can share your thoughts on the UGA assistants and the pecking order there. Sort of like choosing between your kids. You love them all, at least for Georgia fans. There's plenty of reason to love them all for right now. But for the moment, as we wrap up the show, let's remind you, as we do every day at this time, you know, I'm a big believer. Georgia fans are supposed to be Gator haters. And 117 days from right now, Gator haters, I believe, are going to get a happy moment as they go back to Jacksonville and get another win against those lousy, stinking Gators. It's 170 days from right now. It is our Gator Hater Countdown right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Also, let me also say one more thing as we get ready to wrap up our program here today. Go to DogNation.com. Do me a favor and check out the Good Day UGA. Our buddy Andrew Astaford's hanging out with us. Did a great job on the Good Day UGA piece today. Really fun stuff in there. Check that out, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.